Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If it's gonna
feel... Oh, do you remember that song? She's a perfect 10, but she wears a 12. Maybe keep a little 2 for me. And do you remember we all thought this song was pioneering?
Oh... Speaking of songs, I want to start with a bang, right? So I told you my story earlier on, but I'll tell the listener now in a minute. But first off, I want to start at the end and then I'll work my way back. So I was checking the Instagram messages because I know we're both quite bad at checking those messages.
Dusting that one off.
But sure, look, we've been totally clear about that. We don't really check them. You'd probably be better off if you messaged one of us. It's just...
I was going to say, yeah, you're better off if it is something like a shout out or whatever, please message us directly. Because I'll be honest, the Instagram account is the child that nobody wanted. Nobody wants custody of this Instagram account. We'd all said, look, you take him for 3 days, I'll take him for 4 days. But now nobody's taken him for any day.
Nobody's
so it is
him.
Gathering dust. And every now and again, I tap into that inbox and I am filled with shame. So I just quickly close off the account, get out of there, back to Julie J Comedy, because I can't deal with all the unread messages. So please just message us directly if you do want us to do something.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm gonna start at the end and work my way back to the start of how I found myself on up to 90 Instagram page, okay? So this just cracked me up, okay? I saw this today. Stephen Reardon, okay, he's Bond Steve Orr on Instagram. He messaged us the other day. Judy, this is so fucking funny. He goes, I love how many times he attributed Gaga's Edge of Glory to Pink in today's up to 90 episode. Brill episode as always.
You know what? I was thinking that after. I was like, it just doesn't sound like it was Gaga. Could I have Googled
no, it?
No,
yeah,
it is. But he's got the time.
It's Gaga's song, but we kept saying it was Pink.
Yeah, sorry. I know we kept saying it was Pink. Yeah, sorry. I probably mixed it up there again. I know when we were talking about Pink flying through the Three Arena. Nobody cares in Dublin. Nobody cares. When they start flying, that's when you're like, I'm getting the drinks in.
Oh, yeah, but it's not her song. And just when I read the message, it was so clear to me that I could hear it in Lady Gaga's voice.
And you know what? It was just when you sang it. It was only afterwards. Now, I didn't cop it was Gaga, but I remember thinking that just didn't sound right.
Fucking ridiculous. So anyway,
we'll put it in the Winona Ryder winning the Oscar box.
Yeah, oh, defo. So... then what happened was Hannah got in touch on Instagram and she said her brother is sliding and diving.
Love a bit of sliding and diving.
And he was 40 on Friday. So I sent him an old birthday message a bit late. And she said, obviously, we can't really like celebrate and go visit each other, blah, blah, blah. So I sent sliding and diving a message and... I basically just let him know how important he is to us. And do you remember when we were starting out up to 90 and we were like, does anybody listen to this? And Sliding and Diving would tweet us.
I love Sliding and Diving. Is he still in London, I wonder?
Yeah,
he's on. Did you message him on Twitter?
I did message him. No, I just sent a video message, a belated happy birthday.
Oh, lovely. I'll send one too now to Hannah. Yeah.
Do
love him so much. Like, happy birthday. I can't believe he's the big 4-0.
He's the big 4-0, yeah. So basically how I started out on the Up to 90 Instagram page was I was round in my local park today with the kids on my lunch break, and somebody called my name and said, Emma, and it was Maggie. Now, after the fact, I'm like, I think I recognize Maggie from one of the Zooms. So Maggie told me that her, and the first thing I think she said to me was, don't worry, I'm a patient. And she said her and her sister are patrons. And she was with her mate Emma, who is a listener, but isn't a patron. So
tricky.
I had to headbutt her. No, I didn't headbutt her because she was...
But you could make eye contact with her.
No, she was a lot taller than me. But they were just chilling out in the park. It's all within the 5K. It's all good. There was social distancing going on. It was all good. But they had their dogs with them. The dogs were so cute. It was Teddy and Eddie, I'm pretty sure. And Teddy was like a little mini Yorkshire Terrier, which is like my favourite dog.
Oh, so cute.
And then Eddie, I'm probably mixing up these names of the dogs, but Eddie was just like a little poof dog. And they're like really friendly dogs, because, you know, I was like, my dog's becoming apeshit here. So anyway, said hello to them. I was with the kids. They're on the, well, Ella wasn't on the bike. Me and Ella were just walking around. And so we got a picture. So I posted that on Up to 90 Instagram. So that's how I ended up getting in to the Instagram.
And you were back. I love that you met some listeners today. And they just sound like such nice people, because you sent me an audio after meeting them. And I could tell you were just on a big high. It's just lovely.
They were so, but you know what? It was pure.
They were sound.
They were just totally sound. You were like, just totally like, oh, if you were like moving in different circles, or if you like, you'd totally just be mates, just totally.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, oh, how's it going?
I love that. And they had the mini Yorkies. So Maggie and Emma.
Yeah. And actually, I met somebody else there the other week. It's funny because when I didn't have the mask on in the park because I was just walking around with Ella, but I saw somebody else there the other week who told me they listened, and I had the mask on.
Yeah, isn't that gave me a shout. Somebody would recognise you when half your face is covered.
But then I suppose, like, I'm a midget ginger walking around in like these massive clunky docks. They're like, that's her.
I think the fact that you've actually carved a hole in your mask for vaping purposes.
Yes.
You're in your duffel. You've got at least one dog, if not two. Generally three children trailing behind you. People can just put it all together.
I know, there's a few clues there, but it was lovely all day out on the bikes and all that. It was
that really sounds
nice.
Like a great day. I'll tell you about my experience now. I went to the post office. I didn't go today. You know, Can I just give a shout out to the Dingle post office? Okay, now to go in there, you can get your shopping done in Dingle, but they've just got everything. Like, it's gas, because whenever I put up on my Instagram where in Dingle can I get, doesn't matter what it is, could be a chainsaw, could be a yo-yo, everyone's like, have you tried the post office? It's just that kind of shop. But I was in there, and hilariously, so I was posting something, as you do in a post office, and next thing I hear this familiar voice, and it's my auntie at the other window. So she's posting something, who lives in Sheffield. Now, so she's telling me, the girl behind the window, this is so funny. So she was like, oh, I'm posting something to my niece, because her daughter was told that she was a contact for COVID. We've since found out that the child is fine, thank God. But so Jer is like telling the person behind the window, oh yeah, you know, like, we just found out this news. And then I turn around and say, I think Barbara actually said not to tell anyone that. So we all have a good laugh and say, oh, well, we'll just tell her. We didn't tell anyone except for the girls in the post office. Nah. So then anyway, Jer says, you're just the woman I was looking for. Have you seen the Hoover they have in Garvey's? Now, Garvey's, I have messaged Garvey's, okay, in a moment of, Visualization, manifestation. I messaged Garvey's and asked what they sponsor us. We're still waiting on a reply.
Are you joking me?
No, I said, look, we're always referencing the supermarket. I just said for the laugh. I mean, I presume that because they're like, there's a chain of supermarkets all over Munster. So it probably went to someone in Cork who's never going to open it. I mean, why not? It's like just literally begging for money.
Oh,
let's just refer back to that one star review. That's our brand.
But I honestly just thought that was like a joke thing. No. That was like a catchphrase thing. Okay.
I am beating that dead horse to death. That's the stage we're at now. So I emailed, still waiting on the response there, but that's okay. I'm sure we're very busy selling stuff. So Jer was like, we need to get you down to Garvey's to get you a Hoover. So before I knew it, she was like, she was honestly like a Scientologist recruiter now, back on Middle Abbey Street, back in the day. She was that convincing. Before I knew what was even going on, I had walked, I'd been marched down from the post office to Garvey's. We're looking at a Hoover. Like, part of me is thinking, how has this happened? It's all a bit discombobulating. She's like, I'll buy you the Hoover. And I was like, no, look, Jared, don't be ridiculous. She's like, I'll use the rent money. I was like, no, come on. I'll get it. It's €4.
Did you not tell me this already?
On the podcast.
I think you did.
Did I? Well, we have to edit all this out. And then we don't, but the last bit that we don't even have the carpet.
Oh no. I thought it was like, so I ended up paying it for myself because you were like,
oh my god, that is home. The story. Maybe it was more than 2 days ago. I'm all confused. Oh, for fuck's sake, I don't have any story. Look, we'll scratch all that out. Jesus Christ.
No, leave it in. That's so funny. That is hilarious.
Anyway, yeah. So look, she made me pay. She made me pay for the.
I'm sorry. Offer. I should have let you get to the end. But I was like, no, she's defo because I know you had told me.
Not. Was it a week? It must have. Was it in the extra episode I talked about it?
I don't know.
What day is it? Today's Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. So the last time I spoke to you was. Well, in like Zoom land was Sunday because we did the extra episode on Sunday, didn't
maybe
we?
It was a week ago. I'm all confuddled. Anyway, so she was telling the assistant manager, Eamon, how she's buying me a Hoover. And he's like, this is a great Hoover. Everyone's in on the joke. And yeah, then I got to the till. I had to pay for it myself. And the hilarious thing was, as I was driving home, I just thought, we don't even have carpet.
Is that bit I didn't know? You don't have any carpet.
No carpet in the gaff. Also, I'm a little bit, I'm a bit like, ugh, with the gaff at the moment because we're very lucky to have it on and all the rest. But as anyone would know who's attended anything Zoomy with me, we did have red walls for a long time in the gaff. We painted them white. Then my auntie's husband called round and he didn't actually, hadn't been informed that we were painting the walls white. So he was less than impressed. And then my auntie denied all knowledge, even though I had cleared it with her first. And yeah, so then today I asked her, I said, what was the issue with the walls? Because you did give us clearance to paint the walls white. And then she said, which was a fair retort. Well, I didn't realize you'd be so shit at it. I was like, fair enough.
But does it look shit? Like the paint job?
I mean, it probably could be better. It could. It's been a long old day here in Mount Brandon View. So today it's, I would say by 4 o'clock in the day, just for fun, I dressed Ted up in a little bow tie. Just for the crack, just to make things fancy. And you know who he really reminded me of? This is terrible now.
Des so Bishop.
He had a little... Well, he
does. Dad.
You know, look, he's not. Des is definitely not the father of the child. That is no paternity test required when it comes to Ted Cooper.
Really, come on, just look. Is there any harm in starting a gentle rumor? Could be good for the podcast.
Yeah, do you know what?
Not easier than fucking emailing Garvey's, whatever the fuck that is. I don't even
Garvey's
know what
Garvey's. Super, come on, every week I'm banging on about Garvey's.
I know, bang on about it. I'm well aware of that.
It's the best super value in the country.
Oh, it's a Garvey's.
Garvey's. You're getting that for free.
It's a Garvey's super value.
Garvey's super value.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh,
so it's like next level.
Garvey's.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
You have to get the, like, well, it happens in Dublin as well, but it's more so outside Dublin. You have to get the ownership over the shop. You've got to get the second name in there, because I'm pretty sure my local Super Value is just Super Value.
Okay.
It's not. Well, I could be, listener, get in touch. Maggie, get in touch. Do you know, is that Super Value down by the church? I think it's just Super Value. Or the Cost Cutters is just like, you will get it a bit, but most of the places are just the franchise name. They don't tend to whack in the Brady's Cost Cutter.
I didn't really think my email through at all, and I'm sure it gave them a good laugh in Garvey's headquarters. But, and I did a lot of skirting around the numbers. It was just all for a lot of ice skating around the figures.
Soft sell.
Look, what was I banging on about there?
We went through Des the Hoover.
Des being Janet's real dad.
Dad, put the dicky bow on him. Who did he look like?
Put the dicky bow on him. This is terrible. And little white shirt, just for the crack.
Yeah.
I really thought he looked like Malcolm MacArthur. Do you remember Malcolm MacArthur?
Here,
Malcolm MacArthur's arrest at the home of the then Attorney General was one of the biggest sensations in recent Irish history. So he's now 50. Oh, he's now, hang on, doing the maths on it. He's 56 in 2002, Malcolm MacArthur. So how old would he be now? 75. He served 20 years of a life sentence for the murder of nurse Bridie Cargan. He was bludgeoned to death. So she was bludgeoned to death in Phoenix Park. 3 days later, he murdered a farmer, Mr. Donald Dunn, in County Westmeath. Most memorably, MacArthur was arrested at the state's most senior legal officer, Attorney General Mr. Patrick Connolly, in Dalkey, County Dublin. His arrest for the murders of Nurse Gargan and Mr. Dunn was famously described as the culmination of a grotesque, unbelievable, bizarre and unprecedented set of events by the then Taoiseach, Mr. Charles Haughey. And the set of adjectives was quickly shortened to goo-boo by Mr. Haughey's leading critic at the time, Mr. Conor Cruise O'Brien. And MacArthur, there was this big question mark about his relationship with the Attorney General. And you kind of felt bad for the Attorney General, because basically MacArthur was kind of a bit of a man about town, and he knew the Attorney General, like they were kind of acquaintances. Mm-hmm. And he invited him to stay at the Gaff while he was on holiday, obviously unaware that MacArthur was the subject of the Gardaí's largest manhunt, and none of it looked particularly good. And there you go. It was a mad story. And obviously the poor old Attorney General, he didn't do himself any favors then, because then he decided, so he'd gone off on holidays the day after the arrest, and that kind of added fuel to the controversy. And obviously then he had to resign. And actually Haughey, good old Charles, was on holidays on the Blasket Islands at the time, because you know the way he bought this island, and like apparently it was just like insane. They had, back in the day, they brought electricity, imagine, to the island, because they didn't have electricity on the island. So like that was, can you imagine how much money that would cost, bringing electricity to an island just for a private home? So he was staying on his 5-star island when all this happened, and it just like really shook the country at the time. But weirdly, the DPP, they decided not to charge MacArthur with Donald Dunn's murder, which people didn't really understand. So they only charged him with the murder of the nurse. I think their attitude being that, like, look, if he's found guilty of this, we're going to be putting him away for a long time anyway. But a lot of people, and I don't know enough about the case, but a lot of people did question why they didn't put him on trial for both murders, because it was very straightforward. Like with the farmer situation, he basically went to this farm, which was like outside of Tullamore, and he pretended he was going to buy a gun. And then he was on like the equivalent of like Done Deal or something, but I suppose it would have been an ad at the time in like one of the papers. Went down to supposedly buy this gun, and then ended up using the gun to kill the farmer. and then stole his car. So it was just all very straightforward. But for some reason, they decided not to charge him with that. Anyway, I don't know what he's up to now. He's still alive, apparently, but was put away for a long time. And I think then was kind of sent to some kind of mental health facility.
Well, at least you have Ted's Halloween costume sorted nice and early.
I know. You know what? I just really, yeah. Fella,
and you can pipe up and tell them. It's Malcolm MacArthur.
He's like, after coming is Malcolm MacArthur. I know, but do I want that trending on Twitter? I've been trending on Twitter enough this year. Speaking of Twitter, did you see Chrissy Teigen quit Twitter?
I did. I saw some people share. Did she have some sort of statement or something?
Well, she did the requisite, which is what we'd all do. Like, nobody's going to quit Twitter. I mean, even me with my measly 2,000 followers. Actually, somebody did say to me during the week, I put an idea forward for something and they came back and said, because between your Twitter and Instagram, you've less than 10,000 followers, which seems unfair because I'm actually only like maybe 100 off with my Twitter and Instagram combined. I know that's still less. They said they weren't going to pursue it. So look, basically, if I left Twitter, well, I probably wouldn't.
Come here, what was the idea? I'll pitch you.
Oh, Emma, you know what? You are a star bar. People say Emma's not a friend, but you are a friend to me. She took my idea. She's going to pitch it on my behalf. Wow. It's going to be great.
She's going to keep me posted.
She's going to keep me posted. Yeah, no. So if I left Twitter, I probably would do the big goodbye, even though it would get about 2 likes, but I would still do it.
The thing is about massive followings is, now I'm not talking about Chrissy, but like massive followings, like all it tells you is that they have a big follow, like they have a big following online. It doesn't tell you if they'd watch, if they made another thing or if they'd buy their book or their fucking, I don't know, tickets to their musical, or you know what I mean?
And you're hired.
Good.
That is,
I have a meeting with Garvey's on Monday morning to have a Zoom meeting.
Will you tell them that I love the Hoover so much that I'm talking about it every week on my podcast? Have I lost the plot? Like, I really am starting to fret this is a still Alice situation. Yeah, no, look, I feel Chrissy, I'm gonna miss Chrissy from Twitter. I don't think it's ever good when somebody says, look, this is actually all so shit that I need to leave. But personally, I just, look, have you heard anyone of late say anything positive about Twitter? It really is just getting worse and worse and worse. So I'm sad to see Chrissy go, because a lot of her tweets did really make me laugh and smile. Mm-hmm. Now, I did, you see, I was confused, though, in terms of the thread of events, because somebody then put up, so you see, you can't trust screenshots now. Yeah. So they could, I mean, maybe they could have been altered, but I did see somebody put up, I think some Trump heads had supposedly shared these supposed screenshots of tweets she had in like 2012, 2013 about toddlers and tiaras when she made some, supposedly she made some like really off jokes. I mean, if these screenshots are real, it would not be, you know, I don't believe in censoring comedy, but for me, not to my taste, like very off. I say that having just said I don't believe in censoring comedy, it just wouldn't be something I'd like or wouldn't sit right with me at all. But then she did actually think when she was leaving message something about, she did reference if people are going back to watch me talk about toddlers and tiaras or whatever, like I just can't be arsed. So then I was like, oh, is there some truth to the screenshots? I don't know. But anyway, look, she said, oh, she's so
you're saying you feel like it was fueled by something or it was instigated by
I think people, you know, there has been a bit of that, really, people going back through the archives and finding old tweets. And that's the vibe I got in terms of, you know, when you're not really following something. So I don't know what specifically the chronology was, but the vibe I got was that somebody had dug up these old tweets and she was like, I'm gone. But feel free to get in touch with me and say that those tweets were altered or the screenshots were altered or whatever. I don't know.
I suppose, like, you've seen There are like, you know, high profile people or whatever who have left or aren't on it or whatever. And I suppose if you're at the level of like, you don't need it,
you can leave.
My bother.
Yeah. Well, you see, this is it. Like, you need
my
to
bother,
be at
your
that.
Bum.
Yeah. Do you know what? Because ultimately, none of us are on it because we want to be. You know, the reality is it's a necessary evil when you're at a certain level. So obviously when you are at Chrissy Teigen level of fame, you do have that option of leaving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Like, because I know that in the past as well, I don't think, you know, if people say, what you said, like, if people say unpleasant things or things you don't agree with or whatever, like, I don't think they should be banned or, you know, silenced or whatever. You know, we can all control our own feeds. But I know she said some pretty shit stuff about Courtney Stodden. Remember, we talked about it before, who was treated like appallingly. She
made some bad jokes.
No, well, it wasn't even that. So Courtney was 16 when she met Doug, who was 51, and then was married. Her parents signed off on it. And she was like...
We talked about this in an extra episode, didn't we?
Yeah. And yeah. Courtney was treated really badly by the media. And she was the one who was constantly questioned about this age gap, not the 51-year-old.
Ugh,
who
yes,
had been so her... Who had contacted her as a... an acting coach or whatever. People wanted to know, like, was she with them for the money? They wanted to know, were her boobs real? They wanted to know all this shite.
Sorry, can you hear that?
Are we making a porno? What's going on here?
We're making a porno. No, I found the old tweets now that Chrissy Teigen had about Gore. Oh, not nice.
No, and you see, yeah, it wasn't, I suppose there's a difference between making a bad joke or whatever, and then if you take it to the level where you're like at the person and looking for them to reply to your nasty statement about them.
Well, wait, there's a difference between making a joke and attacking someone's character and looking for an interaction on Twitter.
Yeah, like kind of calling somebody out or whatever and saying, oh, you're the piece of shit. What you make of that, you know? But I mean, we can all block people or mute people and, you know, control our own thing. And, you know, like, say people giving out that, say, either, like, say people would say that, like, Twitter didn't kick Trump off it soon enough. And then his fans would be like, oh, why is he being censored? Like, it's not... you know, a publicly owned forum, not everyone needs to be on it or is entitled to be on it. Twitter's a private company, so they can pick and choose who they keep on it or don't keep on it. I think it's fairly shit that people don't have to, you know, this whole thing of people having to give ID and stuff before they sign up to social media accounts. Like, I really think that is...
Because I was going to say, Katie Price, our old buddy...
Yeah.
Has had, obviously she's done the petition and everything, but I was really struck by, I was thinking, God, who wouldn't be for this?
No, 100% would, because even like, no, like, I just, like, I can only imagine, like, if I had somebody, like, say if you have like an anonymous social person on social media who just keeps like finding you on every platform, and then you block or mute them, and then they set up another account, and you're like, this is obviously the same person. Like, this obviously
sliding and diving.
No, no sliding and diving.
We love
OG,
you.
OG.
When you said that name today, I was like, sliding and diving. Where have you been all my life?
I miss know. So much.
But yeah, no, it gets harassy.
Yeah, but no, like, look, she'll be. Like, she'll be absolutely grand. I wouldn't have any.
Like,
I wouldn't have any worries about her. It'd be more. It's more the. And I don't mean this in a whatever way, but it's more like the little people who get bad shit online that I'd worry about. Not that I'm saying like that, oh, like if you're a big celebrity, you deserve the abuse or whatever. But like if someone is a kind of a, what would you call it? I don't know, micro celebrity or something. And if they kind of get on the wrong side of a troll or whatever, I would feel for them because it would obviously, or like there's obviously,
well, they're not going to have, they're not going to have the same level of support.
See, it's one thing, she has all this other stuff going on and her social media is a nice, or say her Twitter anyway, is a nice kind of like side thing. I assume she's still on Instagram and all the rest of it.
Oh yeah.
But there's people out there who, their, like, their sole job is, whether they're on YouTube or whether they're, you know, probably not Twitter because there's not really any money there, but you know what I mean? Like their income is 100% driven by what they do on social media, whatever. So for those kind of people, I do feel if your livelihood is online, I think it seems like it nearly always ends in disaster. Like there's loads of crap going on with loads of YouTubers in America.
It never ends well.
It seems to be just like it'll explode eventually because it's the people who have massive, not always, but a lot of the people who are really big on Twitter, there's a level of controversy. There are a lot of, did I say Twitter? I meant to say YouTube. A lot of the big YouTubers, there's always like that level of controversy around them, mm-hmm. because it keeps fueling the thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're having spats with whoever, or, you know, fucking spill the tea. Just like, let's just have a fucking cup of tea. What is the constant fucking spilling the tea?
I know.
But like, there'd be a new platform. Like, we've only, Julie, like, look, we've only just learned 40%. Of the functionality of TikTok.
Oh, I'm TikTok's not even dead. At 40%. Emma,
TikTok's dead.
No, what's the new one?
I don't know. I'm too old to know. But you know what I mean? There's always something else. Like
I start to panic. How do you do a stitch? Don't tell me now, but I just don't know how to do any of this. You're always stitching. Stitching and diving. Stitching and ditching with Emma Doran. No, look, I'm not mourning the loss of Chrissy Teigen whatsoever.
I was never a big fan, to be honest.
Well, you see, do you know what? Now I feel like I'm talking out my arse because I don't know. She's definitely had some funny tweets that I've enjoyed, but I don't know if I know enough about her to be passing comment about her exit from Twitter at all. And seeing her, the tweet there about Courtney seems particularly cruel. In 2011, Chrissy Teigen said, saying Courtney Stodden's Facebook page got shut down for being too sexy is like saying the Nazis were just meanies, as in not quite. I mean, that's not nice.
So what was that, 2011? So 10 years ago.
Yeah.
She probably was 16 or 17 then.
Yeah, it's just not okay. So like, I don't know, maybe Chrissy Teigen isn't.
But then,
know,
at the same time, on Twitter. At the same time, no. Was I Chrissy Teigen? No. But I know when Courtney first came on the scene, I remember loads of us were like, what the fuck is this one at? Like, okay, yeah. We looked at Doug and we were just like, oh my God. You really felt like he was his character in The Green Mile. Or, you know, like there was definitely a lot of elements there. It wasn't the acting.
I mean, how much, pardon the pun, but how much fucking mileage did Doug get out of The Green Mile? The Green Mile? Make that The Green 10,000 miles. Like, how much mileage did he get out of that 1 mile?
A lot.
Well, look, it comes back to, you know, it's like, and I hate kind of bringing it back to this all the time, but just increasingly looking back, every day that goes past, I just get more and more aware of my own internalized misogyny.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like we Paris all look Hilton. At Courtney like, oh my God, you mad.
But should you remember the Paris Hilton situation? I know Sarah Silverman has come out and apologized about the joke she made at the MTV Awards, but yeah. We were all in on those. We were all laughing along with those Paris Hilton jokes. And and again, she was a teenager in that video. She was like 19 years of age. with this guy, he was a bit older. He was in his mid-20s. Then there was a question mark over whether, like, she claimed after the fact to be under the influence of drugs and alcohol when this, you know, the sex tape was made or whatever. I mean, look, I feel like, you know, when you know better, you do better. And now...
That was a very Oprah quote there.
Maya, thank you so much. Maya Angelou, mwah, we love her.
Were you silent or were you silenced?
Silenced. Really? I loved that emphasis there. Well, I think the quote I take away from that is the beloved Prince Harry. That's the one I want to explore. But anyway, look.
So you're telling me you felt trapped.
I have a story.
Do you want a story? I thought you'd like this one.
Oh, I'd love an owl story.
Sea slugs. Now, this is a tangle
fish. Sea slugs? Is it sea slugs?
Sea slugs sever their own heads and regenerate new bodies. Handy. Researchers discovered that the heads of young slugs started to feed within just hours of being detached from a body. Now, how are they detached? They're making this sound like it's tearaways. You're like, sorry, did you just chop the heads off slugs and just sit around and see what happened? Starfish can regenerate their arms. Salamanders are able to grow new tails, blah, blah, blah. But the scientists have found sea slugs that can grow a whole new body. Research discovered two species of sea slugs that can grow bodies complete with a heart and other internal organs.
Oh my God.
While observing them for... No, Julie, but listen to this. This is the real telltale sentence now. With a heart and other internal organs while observing them for other studies.
Okay, listen. Who are the people involved in this experiment?
One of the creatures
it sounds like they're just standing around torturing slugs and seeing what's justice for slugs.
One of the creatures was seen moving around without its body on one occasion, and another was seen doing the same thing twice. The head moved on its own immediately after being separated, chopped off, separated from the body. And within just days, the wound was at the back of the head had closed, according to the study published in the peer-reviewed journal Current Biology, which, sorry.
It's a red top.
Yeah, and we've subscribed to that. So if you can't get on board with our patron, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you all. The report also found the heads of young sea slugs started...
Not the young sea slugs!
Yeah, started to feed on algae within hours of detachment, hours after they were cut off, and they started regenerating a heart within a week. So I don't know how they were going along without a heart for a week. While the heads of older individuals... Listen to this, Julie. The heads of the older individuals died in about 10 days.
I mean, you know, dress it up as science, but you're just decapitating slugs all day.
Well, I must send that story to my mother because that's exactly what my mother used to do. So she wouldn't buy, slug repellent.
Now, can I just say, killer. Slugs really give me the heebie-jeebies. You know that, don't you?
Julie.
I despise them.
Snails, gas. Absolutely gas crack.
Well, look, anything that carries nothing on its back is going to be a bit of crack. That snail, it's good to go. Whatever the plan, wherever the party is, I've got my gaff on my back. I'm ready. But a slug is just neither here nor there. And that's my issue with slug.
Stepping on one. You know, did you ever go out in your socks in the garden or something? Or
Emma, stop it. Oh my God.
So I'll tell you what my mom used to do with the slugs, right? So she likes the bit of gardening, does Margie, okay? And she wouldn't get any of the like insect killer or any of that stuff. Or, you know, like you meant to put down all this stuff to get rid of the slugs, any of that stuff. You know the way some of the L ones, I don't know, did they put the fucking empty bottles full of water to stop the cats shitting in the garden? Is that to do with slugs as well? I don't know, right? Do you remember that? That used to be a big thing. People putting bottles filled up with water in their front gardens. And you'd be like, oh, right. We know what type of neighbours they are.
How does that deter a cat?
Supposedly, like, no, this is for cats and dogs. Like, if they saw this, they'd be absolutely spooked. Like, there's not as much dog shitting in front gardens now because they, you know, they do tend to be on leads or whatever. But this was the thing. And when you'd see that in the front garden, you're like, okay, you know.
I've never heard of that.
Mr. and Mrs. Notions. So anyway, you think you're too good to let a cat shit in your garden? Please.
Get over yourself.
Yeah. And they didn't like you shouting that in their fucking porch at night. Literally. But anyway, my mom with the slugs. After a few bonfires, it was a great thing. Yeah, fuck you. I'd rob the little bottle in the front garden as well. That way you just need a little
you'd be like, I'm feeling thirsty. Must be all the smoke.
Yeah. Oh my God, look at this bottle. There's a 2 litre bottle of 7-Up sitting right there. Oh, this fucking water. My mom, with the slugs, she used to go into the back garden. And she used to get a kitchen scissors, and she used to go around the garden.
No, Emma, no, she didn't. Emma! What?
Yeah, and I was just like...
Are you missing?
No, and I was like, are you serious? I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And she's like, well, I'm killing the slugs. But she's like, sure, the birds will get them now. The birds will love them.
Oh, my God. Apparently she's got a dark side.
Did. It's country blood.
That is Jesus. Is that for real?
Yeah, swear to God.
And the kitchen scissors. And then would she come in and just use it for the fish fingers?
Yeah, she'd come in then and she'd cut all the white shite off chicken fillets.
Oh my God.
And she'd say, this is the very same texture. No, she'd fucking wash it because the guts would come out.
Emma. That is so gross. I think, do you know what?
Now would have been the kind of a nice bright morning. May have been damp the day before, but like, you know, really nice. And I remember watching her one day going out, like, happy as Larry going around the garden.
And she had no problem doing that.
No.
Wow.
So explains a lot, doesn't it?
But it does. Now, more than, you know, with making a murder and... You know, I would feel the man probably was framed, but it's gas because when you talk to people, they're always like, yeah, but he did kill the cat at the start.
I know,
it's that kind of thing of like Margie, if she was ever framed, people would refer back to that episode.
They'd milk that out even longer than I did. They would,
full article in the Irish.
But her theory was, I'm not going to put down like any insect thing because we did actually have cats at the time because you know the way some of that stuff, it's not good for the old cats. And she's like,
she cared enough about the cats.
Yeah. And she's like, they're eating all the plants, they're destroying the plants. I'll chop them, so I'll kill them, and then the birds will get a meal. So she felt like, am I? I understand.
Circle of life.
Yeah,
and we.
What are your feelings about Elton John?
Elton John, 74 this week. Well, I really enjoy Elton John. I really enjoy the relationship he has with the kids and with David. I did find Rocket Man, it was a little bit sanitized. You could tell that Elton was behind it because there wasn't really much reference to the tantrums. I think he got snappy with his assistant in one scene and then immediately apologized. And the assistant was like, you're fine. And then he went out to Wembley. That was the only real reference to the Notorious temper. So it fell down from that point of view. But aside from that, like, it was just so great. The music was brilliant. Big fan of his music. Think he seems like a really good dad and mad about the partner and all that. And I just think they have a lovely family unit. Did you see the little video of them dressing up this week? Now it was really cute and all that.
What was the thing that he sang on live? When, remember all these celebrities were doing all this singing in their gaff? What was that? And he was like, Meh.
Oh, I don't know. Well, now the thing actually, it's funny. It's funny you mention Elton. Well, before I go on with that, what do you think of Elton?
Yeah, I like him.
He's kind of hard not to like. I mean, you know, I'm kind of an Elton fan, to
I
be think, honest.
Like, look, if I rocked up to a dinner party and he was there, I'd be like, this is going to be good.
Yeah. One thing I would say about Elton is I did get annoyed when he was doing the farewell tours, and he did the farewell tour about four times. Like, you can do a farewell tour once, Elton.
Like, Elton, we have to go home.
Come
on.
Have
to let it go down.
He came up this week, so I was reading an article about Demi Lovato's documentary, and I then watched Demi Lovato's documentary, Dancing with the Devil.
I haven't even glanced at it yet.
Oh, yeah. Emma, you're going to love it. Actually, up to 90 listener, if I could recommend you watch anything over the next week, I would say Dancing with the Devil, Demi Lovato's documentary. Big shout out to my mate Audrey, who runs Core State HQ Pilates. She's very, very good at her job, and she recommended it. It's a tough watch in that, you know, with these things, they're usually so sanitized and so heavily curated by the artiste. So, for example, Taylor Swift's documentary. I mean, there is no point doing a documentary unless there's going to be a level of honesty and it's warts and all. Otherwise, there's absolutely no point. Like, zero self-reflection in that one. Even though I am a big Taylor Swift fan and love her music and all the rest, it was just...
Are you big? Are you...
That line.
Hang on a second.
Music. Massive Taylor Swift fan. Love the music.
You're a big Taylor Swift fan.
Well, I love the music. I do think she is a genius. I just think...
Okay. Big She's not going to sponsor the podcast, Julie.
Like, Taylor, come on. Well, no, but I also love Demi Lovato for the music. I think the two of them are great. So the documentary, it's a tough watch, obviously talking about her heroin overdose in 2018. The build up to her relapsing is very interesting, because the whole idea is that she had been sober for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I guess what I found really... I suppose it felt very different the way they handled that, because they looked back on this period of her life when she was sober, and she talked about being so miserable because she felt like the choice wasn't hers to be sober. So it was very much put on her by her management at the time. They were like, if you relapse, you're going to die. So you can't relapse because you are this role model and you've got all these fans, and you know, your mental health and your sobriety is part of your brand. Then they were very much controlling what she ate. So the people she hung around with, they had to be completely sober people. So she just talks about how miserable she was leading up to her relapse and obviously the overdose. And then it is such a tough watch when they're talking about what happened to her in terms of the overdose, and then also the aftermath. So she was blind. Her recovery was just much tougher than I actually believe. I had no idea that it was that difficult for her. And she does talk, I won't spoil it for people because people are going to watch it, but you know, when she talks about kind of the issues she's dealt with, and it just really, I found it a very moving watch, because it made me realize, like, you know, at the time when this happened to her, it was really important for her brand for her to be talking about mental health in the past tense. So the idea that I went through this really tough time and I had addiction problems and now I'm out the other end. And, you know, they're celebrating her on stage. They're saying, today, Demi Lovato is 6 years sober, and everyone cheers her. And the pressure of that, like having to maintain it. And Elton John came into it because in this article I read, now I haven't gotten to this point, but apparently he talks about, so, which surprises me because I've only been halfway through, that Demi Lovato obviously has come out the other side of all that. But the way she lives her life, chooses to live her life now, she actually does drink in moderation. And I think she does smoke cannabis as well. And Elton John has come out and said, well, now I don't know if it was specifically in relation to Demi Lovato, but maybe it was, because it was in this article in The Guardian about Demi Lovato. So it must have been in relation to that, or in response to this documentary. But Elton John said, look, moderation doesn't work. You either do it or you don't when it comes to sobriety. But that's what she's doing. So that did surprise me.
He could have said it in reference to that, or it could have been just like they dragged up something that he said before.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, usually the Guardian, I think, are fairly, you know, they're fairly good like that. That usually if somebody says something, it's within the context of this conversation, but it might not have been in response to the Demi Lovato documentary.
How many episodes is it?
So it's four, as far as I know. I'm on episode two. It's either three or four. I think it's four. But it's obviously, you know, Demi Lovato has gone through so much. And there's definitely a lot of triggering stuff there for people as well. So just be in the right frame of mind when you sit down to watch it.
But on YouTube?
It's on YouTube. Yeah. So it's very accessible. But I did find it interesting, this pressure to be okay. You know, when people say it's okay not to be okay. But sometimes it's easier for people to kind of, you know, I suppose, talk about these things when it's true, looking through the rear view mirror. So when you say, yeah, I was so bad, but, you know, I got help and I'm great now, that there is a pressure that comes with that then. And ultimately for poor old Demi, it became clear that she just felt totally trapped by this need to be, I suppose, a bit of a martyr nearly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, because it's not like you just kind of crack it and then that's it and that's the end of it. Like, there's
sure it's continuous
who, you know, the whole thing of like, I'm an alcoholic who chooses not to drink, or, you know, all those kind of things. Or there's people who've been sober for 20, 30, 40 years who still go to AA meetings once a week or whatever. And I think, yeah, people do like that kind of wrapped up in a nice little knee package, like, oh, it happened to me and it was such a bad time, and but look at me now. And then the look at me now thing is like, you're kind of, you know, it's more, you nearly sell this thing that it's nearly more comfortable to say, and that's the end of that, which isn't like the reality, whether it's like to do with mental health or addiction or whatever. You've just, all that's happened is you've come out the other side of one of the particular battles that you've met during your life. Mm-hmm. But there probably has been more before that, and there will be others that might not all be as big as that or whatever, or, you know, somebody might relapse for, I don't know, a fucking week or something, you know what I mean? And then just like fucking pull it all together, or they might fucking go off the grid for 6 months, or, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even, well, you know, like the way with depression, like people can be tottering around their gaff fucking, like, because even with depression, like people mix up this, the whole thing of like clinical, like depression. So like somebody can have, everything can be going absolutely fucking fantastic. They can be eating all deadly foods. They can be exercising. They can be meeting up with friends. Da, 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 da. And then just the cloud fucking comes.
Well, it's the depression black dog. Time. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, I know. Or like, there's a different type of like depression where people have like, you know, I lost my job and then my best mate moved away and my fella dumped me and da, 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 da. That's like,
it's reactive.
Yeah. Whereas like, and people seem to just mesh them into the same thing. But you're right, it's a lot of the time it's always spoken about in the past tense. Or like, well, I had to take a bit of a break. They took 2 weeks off, whatever the fuck they were doing, and now they're back and everyone's like, oh yeah, great, hope you're feeling better. But like,
and you can imagine how
dialogue of an ongoing thing, yeah. Or like, you know, like bumps along the way or whatever.
Yeah. And I think most of us have suffered from our mental health at some point. And I think you're right, Emma. There definitely is. It can be easier for people when you can kind of, you know, wrap a bow around it and say, well, that's it now. You know, that wasn't that a bad time, and now isn't this a good time, and let's all move on. Like, it's certainly something that can continue to affect you long after the fact. And then when you surround yourself with people who kind of keep reiterating how great it is that you're okay, I think it kind of silences you in a way, because then you don't want to, you're reluctant to say, well, actually, I'm probably still not okay, but I just don't want to maybe put you through that again. So I'm just going to say I'm okay, yeah, because that was a particularly bad time. And now mostly I'm okay, but there are still days when I'm not okay. Because with all these things, whether it's addiction or whether it is a breakdown, whether that's like nervous, a breakdown or a psychotic breakdown, there are always symptoms of something. So say now, even with this documentary, it's very clear that, like, you know, these things that happened, Demi Lovato, and, you know, the addictions and different things, that they are symptoms of trauma, and it's about examining the trauma.
Yeah.
And that can be harder. Like, obviously, it's a lot. Sometimes it's easier to tackle the addiction or like the mental health, but not maybe look at, well, what are the traumas that actually triggered these things? Because generally, these things are coming from a place of pain. Like, nobody is drinking themselves into oblivion.
Yeah.
Because they're coming from a good place. It's always because they're trying to mask some kind of pain.
Well, they're just, it's self-medicating.
Yeah. So it's well worth a watch. It's hard to know. Like, I definitely see where Elton John is coming from. I know with addiction.
Saturday.
With addiction, I don't know, my personal experience, this thing of like drinking, you know, moderately, in my experience, it doesn't work. But at the same time, I'm not going to pass judgment on how she chooses to live her life. I just think she's super interesting. And even interviews with her of late where, you know, she broke up, she was going out, she was engaged to this guy, and then she broke up with him. And she said, you know what, I feel I'm too gay right now to marry a man. And she's saying, I'm really identifying with being pansexual, and I'm exploring that aspect of my sexuality. And I just think she's a really interesting person, and she comes across as so likable. And I mean, the honesty, the only fault I had with it was, you know, your man Scooter Brown, do you know that producer guy?
No.
I just want to make sure I have his right name.
Brown
guy. Well, he comes across, so his whole thing, I wasn't going to sign her because, you know, obviously we'd heard the stories, and, you know, and he kind of frames himself as a bit of a hero. Scooter Brown, yeah. So he frames himself as a bit of a hero for signing Demi after she had all these problems. And that in itself just annoys me. But also, he's dodgy because sure, then, do you remember, he was the guy that Taylor Swift had the beef with him because he bought all the rights to her music. Oh. And when she approached him to buy the rights to her music, he was like, well, his legal team were like, yeah, you can, you know, bid on this, but you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement where you can't say anything negative about him ever. And it just seemed all a bit adversarial. So I don't know. Did we need that? But that's the only flaw so far.
But the thing I don't really understand about that is, like, the people like that who are absolutely massive, like, at this stage of the game with how things work, like, do they really need a record company to sign them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, I mean, obviously the landscape has changed, but I suppose there's a certain... I mean, I think if you're the likes of Taylor Swift, obviously money-wise, she doesn't need the money, but you would like to have control over your own work.
Judy, if you know the music industry like I do.
This is true.
I think you would have like picked up on that straight away. But I obviously know a lot about Skater Brown.
I'm just a skater poo.
It just makes me think of a kid on a scooter rushing back to the gaff because they've got to do a poo. Skater Brown.
I did think of you.
Or Scooter Brown. Is it Scooter
Brown? Scooter Brown. Yeah, Scooter Brown.
Look, whatever. Leave them off.
Whatever. Leave them off. So Demi Lovato, do check it out.
I like how lots of stuff, there needs to be more, but a good bit of stuff is happening on YouTube now. I think that's quite cool.
Yes, because it's more accessible. And, you know, this thing of you can watch it on Netflix. Well, sorry, not everyone has the disposable income to be signing up to all these streaming services. So I really like the fact that it's on YouTube. Kind of just makes me like Demi more. I just think you come away from it really liking her and wanting to find out more. And, like, she is super talented. Can I just say before I wrap it up?
Yes.
Our listener of the week. By the way, Donovan did send his address, got in touch.
Oh, yeah.
Love Donovan, who was our listener last week. This listener this week, I have to give it to our old friend, Bree Brown of Bandwagons Podcast, because she helped an old lady out And we had a good chat about podcasting. You might know Bandwagons is just doing absolutely amazing. They're at 1 million downloads, really fond of the girls. They're great. And Breed was very helpful in kind of showing me how to use computers. Now, I still fell down. I still didn't quite get on top of it this week, but she was very helpful and we really do love her. So Breed of Bandwagons is our listener this week. And I'll send her a little something to the Collaborative Studios. We might just send it there and I'm sure it'll get to her at some point. Thank you, Breed.
Mwah. Thank you. That's nice.
If you'd like to support the podcast, we are on Patreon. And this week we discussed Emma's Crap Movie Club was yesterday. We also have some extra episodes up there. We'll do a live in the next couple of weeks, maybe at some point, Mrs. Yeah. And we have Julie's Book Club, which is happening the 23rd of April. And we're doing The Silent Patient. Oh, and big congrats to Louise O'Neill, who only went off and sold the TV / movie rights for After the Silence. Very exciting. I don't want to say Julie's Book Club had something to do with it, but I think I got it over the line for her. So, Louise, you're welcome.
Is she going to give me a part in it, or what's the story?
Oh, you know what? Of course. Absolutely.
I hope so.
There is that scene where the woman is like decapitating the slugs. So I think that would be right up your street.
Well, look, I'm not gonna.
At least you're not getting followed and unfollowed by 24-year-olds. Two can play at that game. This thing is right. When you're only at 7,000 followers, you're gonna notice when somebody follows you and unfollows you. I still think that time I got drunk a few years ago and bought all the Instagram followers, it's definitely bringing my brand down. Like, something can't possibly be that people don't like me enough. There has to be some technical reason why it's not happening. Listener, get in touch.
It's over. Instagram's over.
It's all over. It's done. We remember fax machines. I used to handwrite my essays in college. Handwrite my essays in third level. That's how old I am. So when you get in touch with me and say the subtitles aren't matching the audio, just know that I started working on that at 11 a.m. on Saturday and I only managed to get it up at 7 p.m. on Sunday because I couldn't work it and we all did the best we can. If you want to support this podcast, we're on Patreon.
Chrissy had a whole lot of followers. What did it make her happy, Judy?
Do you know what? Like, I'm so discombobulated. I had a tough night with Ted, guys. Fred is away doing the Tommy show. And poor old Ted, he's usually so good for going to bed. I have no idea what happened today and tonight, but I think I'm a bit thrown, so I'm not thinking clearly. I had no plans to even reference Chrissy Teigen leaving Twitter. I don't even know what words are coming out of my mouth. If you asked me to quote a clever, funny Chrissy Teigen tweet, something that made me laugh, I probably couldn't. I have a feeling she did make me laugh, but I really can't stand over Chrissy's actions in 2011. So scrap it. Scrap it all. Scrap everything I said tonight.
Because we were going to start at like a casual 8:30. And then I think we started at like 10:30 because you were having a nightmare. But I know exactly where you are. You're in that one of those moments now where the worst question somebody could ask you is like, so, Julie, tell me something interesting about you. You know, and you just go.
Any stories? Do you have any articles, Julie? I'm like here scrolling. Love the Malcolm Mather, like trying to come up with something on Malcolm, but trying to spoof my way to historical true crime.
That's always where you go.
I can't even formulate a full sentence.
Tell us what you had for lunch. I was like, why is she putting herself under this pressure?
I actually said to Ted, Ted was bawling. And I did say to him at one point, I was like, Ted, I have to do the podcast. Listen, Ted, can we make a deal? Okay. You're 6.5 months now.
Yeah.
We need to chat about this. This is my career. This is mommy's career.
Yeah. And, you know, it was great to see the girls in the park today, but Emma was there laughing along. And he only let her away with it because her name was Emma.
I know.
Do you know what
but
I mean?
I know. I can imagine.
Emma, you know that I know what went down today, and I am going to keep it to myself. Okay, I'm going to keep it to myself, but only for so long. Only for so long.
I haven't involved Emma.
Dog's name. So
can we? Do you know what? How would you do a tip jar on Patreon? Let's throw that in, just so people have zero excuse.
I don't know. Who cares?
Who gives a shit? Oh, you're right. Sure. Bring back the fax machine. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've been Julie Chrissy Teigen.
I don't even care. I actually don't even care about the patrons. Like, that's,
do you know what? I think the worst. I don't even know if that ask anyone
goes into my account, is it? I don't even know anymore.
Ah, no, hang on. Don't throw that. Don't do a shots fired in the final moment.
No, but you know what's happened to me now is I find it very hard to log into the Patreon because I have my own one for listening to bits. So every time I try to go,
I have my own one too, and it gets confused. Yeah, it does. Do you know what is funny? When you're suffering from severe, I wouldn't say severe sleep deprivation, but you know when your head's a bit fried from the day, because it's COVID time, so nobody's coming, you know, for half an hour to the gaff. Fred's away. It's been a mad day. Somebody says to you, what do you think of Elton John? That's when you're like, I could end this now. What do you think about? You're just like, you're trying to think, what should I say? How do I feel about Elton John? Never asked myself that question, but no, now is the time. Come on, Judy, hang yourself. Come on, hang yourself on your words. Say something that will be taken and printed up into an online publication for everyone to read. And people will get in touch and say, I didn't know you thought that. And you'll say, I didn't know either.
I was as shocked as any of you. I didn't know she was going to say that about him.
And then what I love is you'll floor me with a curveball like that. You'll knock me for six and then I'll throw it back at you and you'll be like, you know. Next. On to the next one. On to the next one. On to the next one.
Thank you. Next.
Do you know what? Maybe the money won't appear in your account this month. Okay, bye.
Bye. And I do love you, patrons. And the rest of them, I couldn't give a shit about them. No vaccines for the non-patrons.
Oh, stop. Okay, right. See you later, Mrs. Love you. Bye.
Bye, bye. Night, night. Sleep tight. I can't find the button. Where's the button? There it is. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.